episode 57. Welcome to the Take Up Code podcast, where you can learn valuable insights and skills in programming. I'm Waheed Tanner, and will be your host today. If you ever find yourself wanting to duplicate code with just slight changes to adapt it to use a different type, then you'll appreciate C# generics. Generic programming is sometimes called template programming because it allows you to write code that will be used later to generate the actual specific code. The best way to become a professional programmer is to start writing code. If you're not actually typing code, building it, and running it, then you're missing more than half of what you need to be doing. Have you considered attending a Take Up Code free live class? Text PROGRAM to 44222 and you'll be on your way. In C#, every class ultimately derives from a base class called Object. So if you want a method to be able to accept any type of class as a parameter, one way to do this would be to declare the method to take an object as one of its parameters. In keeping with the adventure game theme, let's say you have a class that represents a shop or a store, and this shop class has a method called trade that allows you to pass one of your inventory items as a parameter, and it returns some amount of coins in return. Because you want the trade method to be able to accept anything, you decide to declare the method to take an object. This is fine for passing classes when you call the method. You call trade and pass a fine pair of boots. But what will the trade method do with the object it receives? It has no idea what the object represents because all it knows is that it has an object. How will it know the value of coins to return if it can't even tell the difference between leather boots and a broken bucket? You think to yourself, okay, I just need to change the trade method to accept an instance of an inventory item. Then trade can call methods to examine the item, get its original value, learn about the condition of the item, etc. Things are looking good until one day you get a new requirement from the game designers who now want users to be able to trade services. In other words, the adventure character can now walk into a shop and offer to trade an hour or two of labor in exchange for some coins. You figure out a clever way to represent service as an inventory item, but it doesn't seem right. Do you really want adventurers to try packing 5 hours of work in their backpacks? So instead, you create an interface that represents the concept of something that's tradable. Change the inventory item class as well as the adventurer class so they both implement this new interface, and change the trade method so it now accepts the tradable interface. Life goes back to being good and your game is progressing nicely, until one day when the designers say they now want shops to specialize and only accept certain categories of items. Some shops will only buy and sell food, while others will only deal with weapons. You go back to the drawing board and decide to add support to the tradable interface for a category. Now, when a shop receives an item for trade, it can find out if the item matches the shop's category, and if not, it'll throw an exception. You solved your problem, complete the game, and ship it. Then the bugs start pouring in. Customers are reporting that the game keeps crashing with a cryptic error message about a wrong category. You see, the C# language is strongly typed and the compiler can help you keep your type straight if you let it. What you did, though, was hide different types behind a common interface and then relied on data to detect errors at runtime. It's much better to catch errors at compile time than at runtime. If you have to choose between compile time versus runtime error detection, and you remember nothing else from this episode, just remember that it's always better to catch a problem yourself when building your application than to let a customer find the error when running the program. Now that you understand the problem, let me explain how generics can help you improve your design so that you can catch mismatched types like this at compile time right after this message from our sponsor. Even the most famous programming experts had to start somewhere. The one thing that all professional programmers share is that we take action. Go ahead, text PROGRAM to 44222 now. If you're not actually typing code, building it, and running it, then you're missing more than half of what you need to be doing. It's hard, I know, to get started, and if you need some help, then all you need to do is register for one of the Take Up Code free live classes. You can attend with just your computer and an internet connection from anywhere in the world. These are live workshops instead of just lectures. You get enough lecturing already. These are fun workshops. You have enough boring tasks already. And these are focused on results. You get tangible results from the beginning. Text the word PROGRAM to 44222 and you'll be on your way. You can also visit takeupcode.com to begin. Alright, you decide that the problem was that anything can implement the tradable interface, and then you can't tell the difference between a sword, an apple, and an hour's work. So you decide to create a class hierarchy using base classes to describe the categories. Maybe you start out with inventory item and service as two base classes. The service class seems like it's done, so you add some more derived classes such as clothing, food, and weapon that all derive from the inventory item class. Then, just as you're about to create a clothing store class that knows how to trade only clothing instances, and another similar but slightly different weapon store class that knows how to trade only weapon instances, you learn about generics. This is exactly the sort of situation that generics were designed to handle. What you do is declare a store class as a generic class that takes a single type as a generic parameter. Let's call this parameter T. That's just a capital letter T. You're not limited to just a single type parameter, and if you need more, then go ahead. You should then name your parameters T something and T something else so they're descriptive. The T in this case will represent the type of thing the store will deal with. When you write your store class, you just refer to this as T. It gets replaced with the actual type in other code when a specific store instance is created. When you create an instance of a generic, that's when you need to provide the types that the generic will work with. You put the types inside angle brackets when you declare a variable. So in our case, all we need to do is write the store class as if T is an actual type, which it will be in just a moment. Other code that wants a food store doesn't need to instantiate a special food store class. It just creates a variable of type store and then puts the type of thing that the store will deal with in angle brackets after store. So it could create an instance of store angle bracket food angle bracket, which is pronounced store of food when reading the code. Need a store that sells weapons? Simple. Just create a store of weapon variable and you're ready. What generics allows you to do is customize a type such as store with one or more other types such as what things the store will sell. Now, since food and weapon are different classes, even if they inherit from a common base class of inventory item, you'll get a compile time error if you try to pass a weapon to a store of food. Before we end for today, let's go back to the store class for just a moment. The store class is currently declared to make use of a type called T. It has a method called trade that allows you to trade something with the store. This method is written in terms of T. In other words, T becomes a valid type as far as this method is concerned and can also be used in the method parameters and even in the method return type. The class store can even create data members of type T. The type T is just a placeholder that will get filled in with the specific type when some other code wants to use the store class. Once you want to use the store class, that's when you provide the real type. But back to how the store class is written. All it knows is that there's this type called T, which could be anything later. The store class needs to call methods on the type T. It needs to call methods to figure out how much the item originally cost, for example. But it can't do that because T could be anything. The only thing it knows is that since all classes ultimately derive from the object class, then the only methods that are guaranteed to always exist are the methods in the object class. So to get around this, you decide to cast the type T to the tradable interface. Now you can call methods that belong to tradable. If you do this, though, you're just asking for trouble. Because what if some other code decides to create a store of dragons? It can do that because, remember, T can be replaced with any type when the generic store type is actually instantiated. Now, creating a store of food works fine as long as the food class implements the tradable interface, which it should. But dragons are probably not tradable. The compiler will let you create a store of dragons, however, because all it knows is that the type T can be replaced with any class. The failure won't happen until runtime, when the store class tries to cast a dragon to a tradable interface and the C# runtime throws an error. It seems like we're right back where we started with the possibility of runtime errors. There's just one more thing we need, though, to make all this better. When you declare the store class to be a generic class based on type T, what you need to do is also add something called a constraint. The constraint in this case just says that you don't care what T is as long as it implements the tradable interface. What you just did was re-enlist the help of the compiler. Now, when some other code tries to create a store of dragons, the compiler has enough information to step in with an error because the dragon class doesn't implement the tradable interface. And another benefit of this is that because we now know, no matter what type T eventually becomes, that it's guaranteed to implement the tradable interface, then we no longer need to cast anything to tradable. What you end up with is a single generic class called store that's based on T, where T must implement the tradable interface. You no longer need to worry about creating custom store classes of each type you want to trade. And because each generic store class is declared with the specific type it can hold, you're protected from other code that tries to trade an apple for a sword. All you have to do when you want to create a store instance is provide some specific type that the store will specialize in. And make sure that whatever type you provide implements the tradable interface. Thank you for listening. Make sure to check out the other episodes, and if you get value, please give the Take Up Code podcast a rating, hopefully 5 stars, and a review. I'll select several people who take the time to provide thoughtful reviews, good or bad, and give you a shout out and a big thank you during our Q&A Fridays. Your support goes a long way to helping this podcast thrive and help others learn how to program. If you have any questions about this episode or even other programming questions, please ask. Just go to takeupcode.com/contact and submit your question. The Q&A Friday episodes are where I'll answer one or more submitted questions. Until next time, keep learning, but even better, keep doing. If you want to learn how to program, then start programming. And you will learn and get better, and your mind will expand in ways you never thought possible.